This is actually a painting depicting John 10:22-39. This is where Yeshua is in Jerusalem, and it's the Feast of Dedication, and he's walking inside Solomon's colonnade. So this is an actual picture of this. And today, we can go to the next slide there. We're talking about Yeshua's Chanukah today. Okay? Father God, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you for this time. We bless you, Lord. We thank you that we can dedicate ourselves to you, that we can remove all the defilement from our temple, wash it and purify it, and rededicate it to you, Lord. And we can only do this because of Yeshua, who cleanses us and washes us and makes us whole. In Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. You know, a lot of people are unaware that the only place that Chanukah is mentioned by that name in the whole Bible is in the book of John, chapter 10, starting at verse 22, of what's known as the Brit Chadashah, or the New Covenant. You know, some people think, oh, it's somewhere in the Torah, it's somewhere in the First Covenant, the Old Testament. It must be, but actually, it's in the New Covenant, the Brit Chadashah, in the book of John. And you can turn back to that back slide, Elton. Go back one more time, please. And we can just keep it there. There it's actually called the Feast of Dedication, as we just sang that song from Marty Goetz, which is the English translation of Chanukah. And we read these words in John chapter 10, verse 22-23. It says, "Then came Chanukah, the Feast of Dedication, at Jerusalem. And it was winter, and Yeshua was in the temple area, walking in Solomon's colonnade." Because John specifically mentions that Yeshua was in Jerusalem on that day, I think we can all benefit and learn about this feast. And let me tell you, if Yeshua celebrated the Feast of Chanukah, then certainly we all should do this. And there's people who say, you know, I'm not Jewish. Why should I celebrate it? That's something for the Jewish people. Listen, Yeshua is setting an example for us here. He's celebrating Chanukah. And I think this feast is for both the Jewish people and those who are not Jewish, who come underneath and follow the Jewish Messiah, those who have given their lives to Yeshua. And the lessons and all the traditions of Chanukah, I believe, are meaningful to those who follow Yeshua and are seeking after God. Now, a little history here. The 8 days of Chanukah arose from the 8 days of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacle. You know, the Jewish people were under severe persecution under Antiochus. There's a whole story involved in this. It would take me forever to tell you the whole story of Chanukah. I would have to light very big, long candles. And it would take me till those candles got down to little twinkling lights before we could finish the story. But it's basically in the first book of Maccabees, which is an apocryphal book. And it's not in the Protestant Bible. It's not in the Jewish Bible. It's a historical book that tells us about these events of Chanukah. And again, the Jewish people were under tremendous persecution. The Jewish people could not celebrate the Shabbat. They could not read from the Torah scroll. They could not circumcise their children, their sons. They were forced to eat unkosher foods, pigs and other things. The temple had been defiled, pigs slaughtered, statues of Zeus put inside the Lord's temple, pig's blood everywhere to defile it. It was a horrible time for the Jewish people. And because of all this persecution, they were not able to celebrate any of the feasts of the Lord. But once they were able, under the leadership of Judah Maccabee, to defeat the Syrian Greek army and to re-cleanse the temple and to purify it and rededicate it to God, they were going to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, which had not been celebrated in a number of years because of all the events going on. Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles, is an 8-day celebration. So they decided to, after they dedicated the temple, following after the tradition of Sukkot, to celebrate it for 8 days. And this is how we get the 8 days of Hanukkah, from the 8 days of the Feast of Tabernacles. So Hanukkah was merely you can almost call it a second Sukkot. It's also known as that. However, in the Talmud, which is the writings and the commentaries of the Jewish people, it talks about that when Judah Maccabee, remember what I told you earlier when you heard that name, Judah Maccabee? What were you supposed to do? That was sick. Let me tell you what. He was a great hero. In fact, let me tell you, Judah Maccabee is considered one of the greatest generals in the history of the world. Not just among the Jewish people. The history of the world. In Israel today, they have the Maccabean Games. Have you ever heard of that? It's like the Olympics in Israel, named after Judah Maccabee. You never heard any of that stuff? He was a great general. Judah Maccabee. Okay. All right. I'll let you have lunch now, okay, because of that. Anyway, when Judah Maccabee rededicated the temple, it tells the story. This is the story. It was written many hundreds of years after the events of Hanukkah. But the story goes that there was just found one vial of oil, just enough to light the temple menorah for 1 day. But yet, miraculously, it burned for 8 days, giving the priests enough time to prepare the sanctified oil. And that's remembered today by the kindling of the Chanukiahs that we did today, with the 8 lights that are on there, and the center light being the Shamash, being the servant candle. And for us who are believers, we know that that Shamash, that servant candle that gives light to all the other candles, is Yeshua. Yeshua Jesus is the one who gives light to all mankind. And he takes his light and he kindles that light to every single person and sheds and brings light to all the world. Now, because of this belief in that oil that lasted for 8 days, we also eat foods fried in oil during Hanukkah. In other words, it's a very healthy celebration, right? The best thing. So we have what's known as latkes, which is potato pancakes. Who likes potato pancakes? Okay, and Donnie, who is also our shamash, which means the servant or deacon here, he made a whole bunch, okay? So we're going to have latkes today. And we eat blintzes as well, which are fried in oil. My wife has made a whole bunch of them. I've gorged myself on cheese blintzes, and I feel all full from all that cheese and all that oil. Thank you, honey. Also, in Israel, it's traditional to eat sufganiyot, which are donuts. Jelly donuts. You saw in that video of the Maccabees, that candlelight, he was biting the donut and the jelly dropped out on his shirt. That's Bob, okay. So we're not going to do that today. So we eat jelly donuts because donuts are made, you fry them in oil, in a bat of oil. Now, since the prominent feature was light, Hanukkah is also known as Chag HaOrim, or the Feast of Lights. Hanukkah is also seen as the Feast of Lights because Sukkot was also viewed in that manner because of the great lighting ceremony of the menorahs that took place during the Feast of Sukkot. And as I mentioned, of all the nine major feasts of the Lord, Hanukkah and Purim are the only ones that did not begin with Moses. In fact, as I mentioned, it doesn't begin, wasn't even in the Torah, it wasn't in the Old Testament. It originated or it took place between the recorded history of the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's called the intertestamental period. That period between the old and the new is when these events took place. And again, it was recorded in the book of Maccabees and also in the book of the Antiquities of the Jewish People by the Jewish historian Josephus. But let me tell you this. Nevertheless, Hanukkah is biblical in two ways. First, the events of Hanukkah, or the events that brought about Hanukkah, First, the events that brought about Hanukkah were predicted prophetically in the book of Daniel, chapter 8 and chapter 11. A lot of you don't know that, but if you read Daniel 8 and Daniel 11, there is prophecy concerning Antiochus and the desecration of the temple and the rededication of the temple. It's all in Daniel chapter 8 and 11. Here, the exact interval of the 1,150 days between what's known as the abomination that causes desolation that Yeshua spoke about as well and the rededication of the temple were predicted to the exact day, as well as the emergence and the defeat of the evil Antiochus Epiphanes. So it's biblical in the sense that it was prophesied that these events would take place. Secondly, Yeshua himself authenticated this feast by observing it in the book of John, chapter 10. In the book of John, and you can turn with me there, in the book of John, John 10:24 tells us that when Yeshua was in the temple area during the Feast of Hanukkah, here he was in Solomon's colonnade, and all the Jewish people gathered around him. They asked him, "How long, Yeshua, how long will you keep us in suspense? How long? If you truly are, if you really are the Messiah, tell us plainly." And this took place during Hanukkah. Now, throughout this dialogue that Yeshua had with the Jewish people there, Yeshua speaks of miracles. Three times, in fact, he speaks of miracles, which is very reminiscent of Hanukkah. And he replies by making four statements. The first is that he had been clear with them in two ways: by his words and by all the works that he did. So then he asks them, in other words, he says, "So what's your problem? What don't you understand? What don't you get? The words I have spoken and all the works I have done prove and show that I am who I say I am, the Messiah." The second statement is that the real problem is that they are not his sheep. They have not believed in him, they're not his sheep, and they don't understand the statements he's making because they are sheep of another pasture. Thirdly, he points out that his sheep, the believers, like you and I, do believe, and we do recognize who he is and his claims. We understand his words, know exactly who he claims to be, and we follow after him. And because they have accepted him, they will have eternal life and cannot lose their salvation as long as they put their faith and their trust in him. And having pointed out that the actual problem is not the lack of clarity of his words, but rather the people's lack of faith, Yeshua makes a fourth and a very clear declaration here. He says, "I and the Father are one." And what does that mean? I and the Father one. Yeshua is saying that if you have seen the Father, you have seen me. That I and God, we are one. In other words, Yeshua is part of that Godhood, that triune nature of God, where we see the Father, the Son, and the Ruach, the Spirit. And he says, I and the Father are one. And Yeshua then follows up with these statements by saying, do not believe me unless I do what my Father says. But if I do it, even though you do not believe me, believe in the miracles, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Now, the miracle that really should be observed during this season, more than the miracle of the victory over the evil empire, we can call it, the real miracle is that God became a man to die for mankind, so that those who believe in him would receive eternal life, salvation in that name. And because believers like you and I have this salvation, we can walk in that light. And we can be a shining light to all the world, because Yeshua is the light of the world, and his light indwells in each and every one of us. Furthermore, by walking in that light, we have fellowship with God and fellowship with other believers as well. You know, Hanukkah, I believe, is so important because it's a reminder to us. And as Bob was singing that song, it's a reminder to us to be consecrated. It's a reminder for us to be dedicated. It's a reminder to renew our walk and our faith and be focused on God. Hanukkah is meaningful because the Hanukkiah, these Hanukkah menorahs, stand for that light of the world, Yeshua the Messiah. And he is the Shamash. He is that elevated candle. That he is that light that stands out from all other lights. He is that Shamash. He is the servant light that gives light to all mankind. The book of John chapter 1 verse 9 tells us that Yeshua is that true light that gives light to every man. And believers are the temple of the Ruach HaKodesh, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we are to be consecrated to the Lord. And Yeshua tells us in Matthew 5:16 that we are to let our light so shine before man that they may see our good deeds and praise our Father who is in heaven. And as we remember and realize how important the temple was to him, we realize how important each one of us here is today as a building block in God's spiritual dwelling place here on earth. You know, many believe that our Messiah, Yeshua, the light of the world, was actually conceived on this Feast of Hanukkah. Conceived by the Holy Spirit on the Feast of Hanukkah. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us specifically the date of Yeshua's birth. It doesn't. But I'll tell you what, it was not during the winter month. It wasn't during Christmas. It wasn't December 25th at all. There's a lot of information, there's a lot of evidence that teaches us as we study about the life of Yeshua and we study the scriptures and we study about Yochanan, about John the Immerser and his father, Zechariah, and all the events of how the Levites and the priests worked in the temple area and the time periods and all of these things, it's very obvious that we see, and I've taught on this before, that Yeshua, I believe, was born during the Feast of Tabernacles. But if you take Tabernacles back, Feast of Tabernacles, you take it back 9 months because a normal pregnancy is 9 months. It takes you right to Hanukkah. So it appears, as you study all the events and everything, which I can't go into all the dozens of pages of stuff, that Yeshua was conceived on Hanukkah and he was born on the Feast of Tabernacles 9 months later. Yeshua, the light of the world, conceived on the festival of lights. Thank you, Lord. Starting on Hanukkah, which begins on the Hebrew month of Kislev, and continuing the 8 days of the feast, and counting through the 9 months of Miriam's pregnancy, Mary, we arrive at the approximate time of Sukkot. Now, important as this all is, the most important fact of everything is this. And this is what is your takeaway for today, the most important thing. The miracles of Hanukkah, that's great. The Feast of the Lord, that's beautiful. God wants us to celebrate these feasts. All these things are wonderful. But the most important thing for us is that Yeshua was born and that he was born with a purpose. And let me tell you what that purpose was. His purpose was to bring light as a servant, as a shamash, into a dying world, a sick world, needing redemption, a world needing atonement. And in his death, as he hung upon that tree for you and for me, and his blood was poured out and ran down from that cross onto the ground, the world was turned right side up. Because let me tell you, the world was upside down. That shedding of his blood turned the world right side up again, the way God had intended it to be at creation. God created the perfect world, and he put two people, Adam and Chava, into that garden. But once that sin in the garden took place, the world, everything was turned upside down. Instead of having eternal life, instead of not having to labor in the fields and having pain at childbirth and living in harmony and walking with God, the world was turned totally upside down. And pain and sickness was brought into the world. And sin was brought into the world. And with sin, death was brought into the world. But Yeshua, as he died on that tree, turned the world upside down. And once when we had no longer had eternal life, now we have eternal life in Yeshua the Messiah. Thank you, Lord. Eternal life. Now we have forgiveness of our sins. Now in the name of Yeshua we can be healed. Now in the name of Yeshua we can be restored. Now in the name of Yeshua we can see the world turn from sin and death to life in the name of Yeshua. That's what God did for us. The world was turned upside down as we were bought and paid for by the Son of the living God who gave his life for you and me. That's your takeaway for today. That center candle there, that shamash, that servant that gives light to all the others, reminds us of Yeshua, our servant, who gives light to us and eternal life, that we might one day stand in the presence of a holy God. Amen. Father, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, the light.